Hello and welcome back to the Marketing Showcase podcast at Edgbaston here in Birmingham. I'm James Marriott. We have another guest. Hello.
Hello there.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. I'm Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
I'm the head of marketing at Room Sustainability. I've worked in branding and marketing all of my career. Started off in B2C, then moved to B2B. So have a bit of an experience across both. I also have a bit of experience in graphic design.
Okay.
So I'm very passionate about the visual side of storytelling, as well as the kind of content and written word as well, which I think is why the topic that we're talking about today is very interesting.
Before we get into the topic of discussion for this podcast episode, two-part question. What did you really like about B2C that you don't do now in B2B? And what do you really like about B2B that you weren't doing in B2C?
That's a good question. What I really liked about B2C, I think, is the kind of fun that you could have in terms of taking consumer insights and then kind of riffing off of that to make campaigns.
Yeah.
Because the way that people consume and the reasons that they consume are sometimes what you expect, but sometimes not what you expect. And I think being able to kind of continually learn and then do fun campaigns is really nice. I also think the variety of channels that you can use is really exciting, dependent on, you know, where your consumers are.
Yep.
What I like about B2B, I think more so, is probably the content side of things.
Okay.
Because when you're speaking to other businesses, you have to have a certain level of credibility and trust. And so in that sense, it's kind of gives you more breadth to really be like leaders in what you're talking about. And I like that kind of authority and tone that you can have as well.
We're focusing particularly on the subject of websites, aren't we, today?
Yes, we are.
Does, this is a provocative question rather than necessarily my opinion, does a website really matter in 2025?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think with the excitement around AI and, you know, the different channels that you can use to consume, a lot of companies or people might think that it's redundant, but actually it's still super important in my perspective. And I think the main reason for that is the traditional marketing funnel that we used to have, in terms of, you know, an individual will be aware and then consider and then purchase. That's not linear anymore. And so you need this variety of touch points for consumers and clients and stakeholders to see. And so, to something that came up earlier, it's always on, it's always 24/7. So it's really important that when they visit that touch point, they have an up-to-date, you know, representation of who your company is. And so for me, I do think it's very important, and particularly for a B2B context as well.
It's weird, the kind of the almost like the journey that we've been on in terms of, like, 20, 25 years ago, not very many businesses even had a website, and then they did, and then social media came along and everyone went, oh, forget the website, everything goes through Facebook now, and then it's kind of moved in a different direction, and a few other kind of little sort of trends along the way as well. What do you think is best practice in terms of how a business should be using its website in the current era?
Yeah, good question. In terms of current era, because I think it's continually changing and evolving.
It always will. Almost the second we press stop on this, it'll probably be out of date.
Yeah, definitely. I think the way I like to think about it, and I was, you know, just at a talk earlier today from Webbox about the 15 fundamentals of building a good website, and it's so complex, and there's a lot of things that you can consider. The way that I like to think about it is really considering the front end and the basics and, you know, the best practice, but also the back end as well, in terms of the analytics and the metadata and all that good stuff. So I think having a strategy for what your front end looks like and how your back end is set up is really important. And I think as long as you've got those in place, that you've got a really solid start for building and having a strong website.
I'm trying to phrase this in a way that is not too negative, but I'm just going to say
it. Be negative, it's okay.
What are the common mistakes people make? I mean, you must look at some websites sometimes and think, oh, really cringe.
Yeah, I think that my answer to that would differ depending on whether you're talking about the last 5 years or, you know, looking forward in the last year or so, because I think previously common mistakes were around not having like a healthy back end if you don't have an agency or a full team support you. So is all of your metadata in place? Is everything tagged correctly so it will appear on SERPs and, you know, in different results engines? And having that kind of hygiene side of things of your website, which is the far less glamorous and sexy side of things. Whereas I think in the last year, one of the common issues that's come up is companies relying on AI to write their content. And again, I was just in a talk where that was being raised. And I think, you know, as we are applying AI in our personal life and in our work as well, it's easy to think that AI is just going to do everything for you, but actually it's about being choiceful what it does for you. And I think writing content has caused a lot of companies issues because actually AI can tell when other AI is writing its content. And so I think that has its own issues that, can unravel.
A major element to this that we've not maybe touched on too much so far is kind of the SEO side of it. And obviously that kind of searchability is sort of changing all the time. How that works is changing all the time. Once upon a time, I think that people probably, their entire strategy about their website was just based purely on SEO and making sure that it was, you know, findable and all that kind of stuff. How important is that now? Is it still the be-all and end-all?
It's an important pillar, but I wouldn't say it's the be-all and end-all, because I think one important facet of creating a website is the content and how readable it is, how visible it is in search engines. But also, if somebody's done the work to land on your website, it's also really important that it's nice to engage with, and the user experience and the user interface is also set up so that people enjoy their experience and want to come back. And I think that's where the graphic design kind of side of things for me personally is really important, because, you know, every company has a website, but I think everyone can recall one or two websites where they really like it and they think that it's really impressive, and not ignoring how things show up rather than just what's showing up, I think is really important too.
This is a closed question, but I think is relevant. How often do you think a business should be refreshing its website?
That's a good question. I mean, it's an ongoing process all the time. I mean, there will be content that's regularly updated in terms of, you know, whether it's blog articles or press releases. But in terms of overall how, you know, your website is set up or what you're putting on there, it should be a regular exercise. You know, most companies, you know, that have marketing teams will do monthly reporting. So are you also looking at your website? Have you audited it for that month and seen, okay, where are people landing? How long are people on there for? How can we improve it? So I think making sure that it's part of the overall business review process,
yep,
is super important, because you can't just put a load of work into creating it and then leave it there on the shelf looking pretty. It's definitely an ongoing thing. And the more you put into your website, I think the more you get from it. It might sound cheesy, but I think you can kind of say Rome wasn't built in a day. And it's the same thing with a website. It's, you can build something really strong, but yep, it takes time and effort and continual improvement.
It's not as simple then as just saying, yeah, you should launch a new website every 2 years.
Absolutely not. No. And I think it's a common misconception for people that don't work in marketing that making a website and maintaining a website is really easy.
Yep.
If you want to do it properly, it can actually entail a lot of work,
yep,
over a long period of time. I've been involved in some website, you know, not just creation, but just redesign, that's taken 12 to 18 months, because you're speaking with a UX expert, you're speaking with your IT team, you're looking at new insights from your consumers. And so I think it's important to have respect for what goes into that overall process.
Lauren, you very successfully managed to make me feel really bad for all the things that I realise I'm currently getting wrong with my own website. So someone in a similar kind of situation who maybe listens to this and realises, do you know what, actually, I've neglected this a little bit and there's work to do. What's your kind of advice in terms of whether it's kind of like the first step in that process? Because I think it can feel a bit daunting when people realise, you know what, we need to sort this out. You know, is that best done by hire someone in to help you with it, do an audit? What would you what's the kind of the starting point for someone that realises there is work to be done here?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, and also very dependent on what resources you have available. I mean, I've worked in a large FMC organization and I now work in a 30-person startup. So the resources that you have available to do this work is a major factor in what you can do. But I think as a good starting point, it's very important to ask, why do you use a website in the first place? What are you trying to achieve? And oftentimes it's about communicating certain bits of information or answering certain questions for your clients and consumers. And so for me, I would probably say the first step is looking at your content. And are you answering the questions that your clients and stakeholders want to know? And are you doing it in a way that it's going to show up in your AI overviews and it's going to really quickly answer their questions? So I think, although I love and appreciate the design side of things, I think as a starting point, you have to look at content. I've definitely heard the phrase before, content is king. And I think a lot of the time when you're starting from the beginning of a process, you have to keep that in mind. Why do you have the website, and then what content you would put on there to answer key questions?
Well said, well said. I don't know if you get asked this all the time or not, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Are there particular websites that you look at and think, do you know what, they always get it right? They're absolutely on the money.
It's a difficult question. I do often see websites that I like, and I think the common denominator among all of them is when they're dynamic. In terms of the modules that you have. This is very dependent on, again, the resources you have available, the agency you work with, but having dynamic and interactive content on your website can really make it stand out. Again, when you think about the era of AI, and, you know, I was just at a talk where we were discussing how often there's no clicks when you go on a Google search now. You get the AI overview, and you only really go into a website if you think it's going to be worth your time.
Yeah.
And so being able to get there and then have an interactive, engaging experience that you actually enjoy, I think is a really important way to stand, you know, above all the other websites that you come across. I'm struggling to name drop, but I think those would be the general things. If it's dynamic and interactive, definitely make a difference.
Good thoughts. I do now want to spend the next 10 minutes talking just about AI overviews, because I find them fascinating. But we've run out of time, sadly, so we'll dodge that subject successfully,
maybe thankfully, because I think it's a bit of a minefield.
Thank you very much for your time. Give us a plug, whether it's for your LinkedIn or for the business, whatever it is. What's the best way for people to kind of follow up if they want to do with you?
Absolutely, yeah. On LinkedIn, it's Lauren Satchwell. I'm the head of marketing at RIM Sustainability. RIM Sustainability, it's not a marketing organization, it's an ESG technology company. And so AI is a big part of what we do. So I'm kind of glad maybe we didn't delve into the details of that. But yeah, thank you for the time. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Awesome, thank you. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.